Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio with Miss Tara and myself, Sandy, and her son, Grant. Say hi, Grant.
Hello.
Hi, Grant.
Hi, Grant. And Nick's with us today, too. This week, we're going to be in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And the Son of Man will come in his glory to separate his people as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats.
Hmm. It's a tough passage.
It's a tough passage.
It's convicting.
Yes.
I've been sitting on it for a week and just sitting here going, okay, God, really? Like, yeah. As I prepared, I'm like, God, I worry sometimes I'm more of a goat than a sheep.
Oh,
we'll go into that, though.
Yeah.
Today's passage is in Matthew 25 and 31 through 46. And oftentimes they will refer to this particular chapter as having three parables. And I want to make sure up front, almost all commentators, theologians, reference that this particular last one is not a parable. It is actually a truth story told kind of like using a simile, or some of them will call it a biblical prose or a biblical narrative or a simple narrative as a description instead of referring to it as a parable. And I had never caught that before. I guess it's the first time I ever realized that. But here is how it goes. So when Jesus, the Son of Man, comes in his glory, all the angels will be with him, and he's going to sit on his throne of glory. All the nations are going to gather around him, and he will separate them from one another, just as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left, and then the king will say to his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he'll say to the ones on the left, "Depart from me, you who are accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me." And then they too will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you?" And then he will answer, "I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will have eternal life. It is an amazing passage. And there is so much chalked in here that we just need to break it down in small bits. The first thing I want us to visualize in our mind is that this simile that he is using, I want you to picture a shepherd and him having this long corridor and sheep and goats all lined up one by one within this corridor. And at the end, the shepherd is sitting on top of a fence and he's opening the gate to the left or to the right as they come up to him. They are already a sheep or a goat. Okay, it's not that they're walking up and he's saying, "You're a sheep and you're a goat." They are already what they are. And they are coming up. And then based on who they are, he flips the gate to the right or he flips the gate to the left so that they can enter into the right corridor of where they should be. Okay, that's the picture we need to see. That's exactly how shepherds sift out the sheep and the goats. Because during the day, the sheep and the goats are together in the field. They walk with them and they journey with them. But at nighttime, they put them in their separate pens. And so that is the simile, the story he's using to show what's going to happen at end times for us amongst the sheep and the goats.
And I think really it's important, too, that the shepherd, you know, when he calls them, the sheep hear him and know him.
Mm, that's really good. So when you hear this particular simple narrative. We'll go with that phrase instead of parable. But I might call it parable because I've called it that for 46 years. What is it that comes to your mind when you hear this as you're hearing him dividing out the sheep and the goats?
I can't remember the verse right now, but the verse that talks about not all that cry out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, that's what first comes to mind for me.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good connection. How about you, Sandy?
Well, anytime you think about him separating the people, you think about his grace, you know, and how we're saved by his grace. We've got to remember that.
It's good. This is the third story in Matthew 25. It is the very last formal teaching Jesus gives. It is the last message. And that in of itself is profound. Why do you think that he would want us to know about the separation of the sheep and the goats as his very last message?
Well, that's an important one.
It is, isn't it? Okay. It's important because we need to understand it. It is about how we serve in the kingdom, not about our salvation. The fact that we're a sheep tells us we're saved.
Right.
The fact that we are a goat tells us we're not. Okay, that one way or the other. And so it's the division of what has already been that occurs at this point. And one of the things that is brought up very quickly is in verse 31 through 33, when it says, all of the nations will gather before him. This here is referring, nations comes from the Greek word, and I'm not pronouncing it, I'm sure, correctly, ta ethne, which is the Gentiles. It is referring to those outside of the Jewish faith, okay? And so some commentators say there's actually three groups spoken about here. You'll have the sheep, the goats, and then you could have, and then this is where they divide. Some say the others would be the 144,000 Jews that will be believers.
Right.
And then some say that it's anyone in need. So that third group could be anybody.
And it could be because it's a lot about charitable deeds.
It is about serving. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that kind of gives us an idea. And Bible Knowledge Commentary says it's not about the great, it's not the great judgment, but it's during the 1,000-year reign of what will occur when we enter the kingdom of God. Okay, so what I want us to do is we're going to take it, and this is what we always do. We take time to describe each one. And so let's take the first through 31 through, I think it's 33. Yeah, let's just, what do we learn about Jesus? All the things that are said about him. He's the Son of Man, right? And he's going to come in what?
Glory.
Glory. Okay.
So right there, he's, you know, he has been not in glory. He's been simple.
He has.
In poverty.
Right.
And he will soon be rejected.
Right. Yeah. He has been, and when he came before, it was on a donkey, very lowly, very meek. Mm-hmm. But now he's coming in his glory. So what does this glory look like as he's coming in? Who's coming with him?
All of the angels.
That's incredible.
That's going to be quite the sight.
Yeah. I just like, this is amazing. So the Son of Man in all his glory with all the angels, and what is he going to do?
That's when he's going to gather them.
He is.
And separate them.
He is. But he's going to sit first
on his throne. Yep.
Yeah. And so here we have him sitting in all his glory with all of his angels gathered around him. And you can just see and feel the majesty of Christ. Mm-hmm. And all of the nations are around him. And he begins that process of sheep and goats. Okay. The separating out. Let's now start examining what we can learn about sheep. Okay, so talk to me about your sheep. What do you see about the sheep?
They follow.
They do. They have to follow. They have to walk with him. When he is talking to them and he's speaking to them, one of the things that I noticed is that he extends his hand. You know, not he's like, come.
Yeah.
It's an extension of come. okay? And in order to open the gate, he's swinging wide the gate, okay? So I want you to visualize there's an extension, and he is extending it with a right arm. Now, what do we know from Scripture about the right arm? The right arm of the Lord.
It's righteous.
It is right. You know. It is strong.
The word right is always an important word.
Righteousness is good. He's strong. The strong arm of the Lord. Every time Scripture refers to the right, it is always the place of honor.
Right.
It is always the place of dignity. It is the place that to be at the right of a king, it is the highest position of honor we could have.
And he'll set by God on the right.
And that's why the disciples, when they were fighting over who would be on the right, you know, in that particular case, it was the right or the left. This wasn't a judgment of good and bad. This was the judgment, not judgment. It was for them the honor of being on the right
just
or the
deciding.
Left. But always the right was the higher. So the higher dignitarian would be on the right. And so there is incredible significance as far as the right. Okay, and as he was talking to the disciples, every single one of them would have caught that. This would not have been a surprise to them. The other thing is the invitation. He gives them a definite invitation. What is the invitation to do? He extends it and he says, I invite you to
be blessed by the Father.
That's
pretty important. Yeah.
And
it
inherit
is important.
The kingdom that was prepared for them.
Right. Yeah. Right. Grant, would you do me a favor and go and look up in Matthew 5 the Beatitudes? Because this is the passage of Scripture that Jesus, when he began his ministry, he tells us who the blessed are. And so I just want us to sit for a minute and examine what it means to be blessed. Matthew 5. And
it's at the end of the, or maybe at the beginning, I can't remember.
It's
we just studied that.
5:1, I think.
Okay.
All right, I want you to read for us the Beatitudes, and you'll go ahead and take it to there, okay?
Here.
Yeah, you'll read the whole Beatitude.
From 5:1 and down?
Uh-huh.
Okay. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, the poor in spirit are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those who mourn are blessed, for they will be comforted. The gentle are blessed, for they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. The merciful are blessed, for they will be shown mercy. The pure in heart are blessed, for they will see God. The peacemakers are blessed, for they will be called sons of God. Those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Let's just sit for a moment on the blessings, okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those that are persecuted. These are the things that character qualities of the blessing. And Jesus is now talking to them, and he says, come into the blessing of the kingdom of heaven. So he has given them this challenge at the very beginning of the ministry. He has talked to the disciples about the expectation of what blessed people look like. He's told them very much, very clearly, what the character traits should look like and what their service should be like. The assumption is made that salvation has already occurred, but this is the overflow of the heart of what is happening inside them because they have believed in Jesus. Okay, I want that clarified at the beginning because it'd be very easy for us to interpret this narrative as saying that we have to live a life of works.
Right.
We could truly take the sheep and the goats and say we need to live a social gospel where it's all about social service and then a social service, but not have the gospel. It has to be because I have the gospel, I socially serve, not I socially serve to get the gospel.
Yeah, we serve because of what Jesus did for us, because we love him.
Exactly.
You know, we just want to give back.
Exactly. And so thinking through the fact that he began the ministry on what he viewed as a blessing of character traits within the kingdom of God, and then ending with the sheep and the goats. and thinking about the blessing of the inheritance, because he's going to tell them how they actually lived out the fruit of what he challenged them to do on the Sermon on the Mount. He is going to say, this is what you did. And they're going to say, when? You know, and so along that with the sheep, the provision that they provided for others, I mean, the food, the clothing, the care, the fellowship, they gave those things. The other thing that I noticed about the sheep is it's blessed are the merciful. You know, when he says that, literally they were people that were willing to be the hands and feet, okay? And that they were willing to take care of those in need. So that's the sheep. And as I was thinking through this and really just, it's that unconscious effort of serving. And go ahead, Sandy.
I was saying it's serving from the heart, your motive. It's always about, you know, your heart motive.
It is.
You know, am I doing it for him or am I doing it for me?
Yeah. Yeah. Or am I doing it because I have a title, or am I doing it because mom told me to?
Right.
Am I doing it because pastor said I should?
Yeah.
Am I doing it because I'm serving on the committee, and if I don't, people are going to be mad at me? I mean.
Well, it's that agape love.
Right.
You know, there's a difference
right.
in the loves. Yeah.
And so questioning our hearts, asking our hearts, where is that coming from? All right, thinking through the sheep as he's bringing their blessing, one of the things that blew me away is that when he begins this process, both the sheep and the goats are surprised. Both are surprised.
Because they both question him.
Yeah.
When did I do that?
Right.
Or when did I not
do
that?
They're both like, oh, I don't remember serving you. I don't remember doing that. I have no recall.
You know, we studied Matthew 6. 1-4, not too long ago, and it's like giving to the needy or charitable deeds, love deeds. And one of it was he told us not to let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. And so these people didn't know.
So right, yeah.
They didn't
allowing
give themselves
the overflow of the heart. So I want you to come back next time because we're going to start looking at the sheep. I mean, the goats. We've examined the sheep, and we're going to examine the goats next time and what the goats were not like. And then we'll begin the process of what does that look like for us as we are serving in the kingdom of God. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we love hearing from you. Feel free to email us at or through the website at tararye.com, or you can do it at cultivatingheartswebs.com. God bless.